Hello, my bookish family. Thanks for coming back to our little corner of the podcast world. So today I want to kick things off with a new feature here. It was a necessary feature to add. So I spent a lot of time on the name, so hopefully it works for you. So I've named it Whoopsie Way. So let's do this. Picture you're in the car. You're following directions on your GPS. You have it all queued up. So picture like street signs, right? The green-ish street signs. Well, that's how I know street signs to be. Maybe where you live, they're a different color. I'm not really sure. So picture, okay, you're supposed to make a right-hand turn onto Riverside Way. And then after two blocks, you have to make a left onto South End Way. Just trust me, follow me. So we're going to call this feature Picture the street sign. It's called Whoopsie Way, right? Our street is Whoopsie Way. So to be honest, this is a total ripoff from the My Favorite Murder podcast. Karen and Georgia created a segment called Corrections Corner, where they basically go over past episodes, you know, and kind of like fix any mistakes that they may have made along the way. And I quickly realized, so what, we're up to episode 14 here, so I quickly realized that I'd have to come up with something like that for this podcast. So in the last pod, it was episode 13, and I was talking to you guys about my library borrows. It was in honor of National Library Week. So I told you that I took out, you know, I took out a bunch of graphic novels, and I said that I also grabbed two fiction books. Nope. One was fiction. That was true. It was historical fiction. But the other one was a memoir. So I just kind of wanted to correct myself on that. That memoir was Group, How One Therapist and a Circle of Strangers Saved My Life by Christy Tate. So there you have that one. And then I said, oh yeah, I was like carrying on like, oh, I definitely heard of Jen Wang because I took out one of her books. I said, I definitely have heard of her, but I've never read any of her work. Okay. This, or I should say that, was a false statement. Not only have I read Jen Wang's book, The Prince and the Dressmaker, I adored it. It's like one of my favorite books now. And here I was saying I've never read any of her work. So there you have it. This concludes the Whoopsie Way segment of Mary M's Book Pod. Thanks for being here. So let's get right into the reading chatter. I'm still working. Let's see. Here's what I'm currently reading. I'm still working on Anthony Trollope's Dr. Thorne. That's the third in the series. And I also have the graphic novel On a Sunbeam by Tilly Walden. And I seem to be taking some time to read both of these. And I can't even tell you why, because I'm thoroughly enjoying both. It just, I don't know. My reading has just slowed down just a bit these days. No rhyme or reason. I'm not going to spend too much time trying to figure it out. That's where we are. Right, guys? Let's see, but I did finish up two graphic novels that I did take out from the library. The first one was Sailor Twain by Mark Siegel. That's the book that involves the mermaid. Remember that? I talked about it last week. I love that book. It was really, really good. The art was just simply amazing. Super happy I picked that up at the library, and I suspect that is one I'm going to also buy to have in my collection. And the second graphic novel I finished this week was also from the library. It was King of King Court by Travis Dandreau, which is going to be the book that I would like to discuss today with you guys. Okay, so I know last week when I told you that I took out King of King Court from the library, I know that I read a little summary on the book, but I figure I'd do another recap just in case you need a refresher, or maybe you weren't here for last week's episode. So here we go. I have this pulled up on Goodreads, and I thought after we go over the summary again, before we get into my thoughts on the book and my little anecdotes, I would read a couple of the interesting reviews that I saw underneath this book. So here we go. King of King Court by Travis Dandreau, a dynamic and devastating memoir about the cycle of trauma caused by addiction within one family. From a child's eyes view, Travis Dandreau recounts growing up with a drug-addicted birth father, alcoholic stepdad, and overwhelmed mother. As a kid, Dandreau would temper the everyday tension with flights of fancy, finding refuge in toys and animals and insects rather than in the unpredictable adults around him. He perceptively details the effects of poverty and addiction on a family while maintaining a child's innocence for as long as he can. King of King Court spans from Travis's early childhood through his teen years, focusing not only on the obviously abusive actions, but also on the daily slights and snubs that further strain relations between him and his parents. Alongside his birth father, committing crimes and shooting up, King of King Court lingers on scenes of him criticizing Travis and his siblings. Dandreau gives equal heft to those anecdotes, emphasizing how damaging even relatively slight traumas can be to a child's worldview. As Travis matures into young adulthood and begins to understand the forces shaping his father's toxic behaviors, the story becomes even more nuanced. Travis is empathetic to his father's own tragic history, but unable to escape the cycle of misconduct. So, like I said, before I get into some of my thoughts on the book, I wanted to read some of the reviews that I see below here, just because they bring up some great points and, quite frankly, say them in a way that I didn't think to say it. So Erica rated the book 3 stars, and this is what she said about it. A messy graphic biography about violent, addicted father figures, a mother who wants what's best for her family, but regularly falls back into destructive patterns, caring but passive grandparents, and the kids who maneuvered their way through a childhood peopled by such adults. And it's interesting what she brings up about the mom. That is very true. No matter what is going on, you can tell that the mom, she does want what's best for her family, and she puts her best efforts in to try to make that happen, but she's human, right? And she does fall back into certain destructive patterns that will make you think. So, moving along. Oh, this was the other one I wanted to read to you. Robert says, he rated it 4 stars, and he said, depressing as hell, but moving and memorable. Well said, Robert. Man of few words, but gets right to the point, and I couldn't agree more. And there was another one. Let's see. Michael. Heartbreaking and extremely vivid. I've never seen a grown adult capture painful childhood memory like that. That's another great point. So in King of King Court, Travis, he takes you on this raw and honest ride. It's a truly raw and honest ride through his childhood. He grew up in Massachusetts, and he really seemingly hides nothing from you, the reader. He, you know, you would think, oh, it's a memoir, so of course it's going to be honest and he's going to put it all out there. But that's not always the case, right? So this was one of those books for me where I couldn't believe how many times I related to Travis, in the sense of, I'm talking about the little happy moments that he did find throughout his childhood, putting aside everything that was going on around him. He did find all these little happy moments, and it was interesting, as I was reading it, I was thinking, this author, he has to be around my age, because I'm just relating to so many of his references. Do you know what I mean? So as I was reading, I noticed there was, like, on the coffee table, there happened to be a Post-it pad. So I grabbed the Post-its and I just started, like, jotting down all of these relatable, you know, things he was mentioning, because I couldn't believe how much it was happening. Now, you know where this is going, don't you? Yep, I'm going to read some of the Post-its to you. Don't worry, I won't read them all, but I did grab a couple of my favorites and wanted to just tell you all these things that I was jotting down, these happy moments from Travis's childhood that I so related to. And just thinking about them now, as I know I'm going to share with you guys, it's making me smile. So let's start off with watching the Flintstones. I just remember sitting down, with my cereal, with my lunch, whatever it was, you know, whatever time it was to watch the Flintstones. And it's just, it was so much fun. And then, do you guys remember, tell me if you ever played with these when you were a kid, or maybe I was just strange. Do you remember the stand-up punching bags? So they were like, they looked like giant Weebles. Did you play with Weebles? So you blew them up with air, and on the bottom was like a heavy sandbag to keep it from tipping over. So, you know, you'd punch the punching bag and it would like come back up to, you know, swing back up to you. So I just remember when I'm guessing around seventh grade or so, I was at my friend's house, and her brother, he was much younger, he was like goofing around playing with this punching bag. And we were all like hanging out in the basement watching TV, and he kicked the bag, right? And it came flying and hit me right in the eye. And I mean, don't worry, I was fine. There's nothing like that tragic. But I remember having a shiner on my left eye, and I had to go to school looking that way. But I don't know. If that happened to me now, I think I'd be thinking about it too much, but I didn't really care at the time. I don't remember it being like a thing, but that's my stand-up punching bag story, guys. So what else do I have on this list? I have Trix cereal. Remember Trix? Delicious, sugary cereal. Dairy Queen. I used to ride my bike to Dairy Queen all the time. The music show, the dance show, Solid Gold. Garfield. I remember asking my dad for we used to call them the funnies. So I'd always want the funnies from the newspaper that he was reading so that I could read Garfield, especially on Sundays. That was like a big thing. Okay. If you know me, and I don't know if I've mentioned this yet on this podcast yet. I'm a big Star Wars fan. Love Star Wars. But when I really think about it, what made me love it was being a kid and playing with the toys. It was like I was into playing with the toys, the action figures first, and then I was like, oh yeah, I want to see the movies. So in King of King Court, Travis references his Star Wars Darth Vader action figure holder. Now, I remember carrying my Darth Vader action figure holder over to my friend Sean's house. He had one too, and we were very fortunate. We both had the cases, and our cases were filled with action figures inside, right? So we would play Star Wars, as we would say, and we'd open up both cases and then take turns picking, because we both had, you know, we had some similar figures, but we had different ones. So we would take turns picking, and I even remember that you were able to pick two at one time. I forget how we decided who got to pick first. Maybe we took turns doing that. Anyway, it was just so much fun. I feel the need. I took you this far through that story. We would always, at the end, of course, we would, you know, I would go home with my figures and he would keep his there. Like, it was never like a thing. You know, I never stole one of Sean's, like, you know, one of his droids or something. Nothing like that ever happened. So what else do we have on this list? Oh, Light Bright. Now, you see, I never had Light Bright, but I did have some friends that did have it, and I played with theirs. But I always did want a Light Bright, and I don't know why I never got one. I sound bratty, don't I? Bratty Mary. Oh, what else? Candy cigarettes. That's another thing I remember, riding my bike over to the 7-Eleven and buying candy cigarettes. And it was, you know, probably a bad thing to think it was cool to play with candy cigarettes, but don't worry, guys, I never turned into some like smoker or anything, so everything's good. Trading Halloween candy. Did you guys do that? I remember we used to use, like, I think we used pillowcases. We would come home with like loads of candy, and then, you know, our parents would always want to see it first, make sure there was no danger, no nonsense going on in the bag. And then it was like free range. We could do, you know, could have the candy. So again, my best friend Sean and I, we would like trade candy. It was just, that was so much fun. So those are just a couple things that I jotted down on my post-it notes as I was reading the memoir. And I thought I had to share it with you guys, because it was like, I don't know if that's ever, does that happen to you in books where you're reading it and you're like, wow, I'm relating to so many of these references, and it's just the coolest feeling in my book. But So I highly recommend this book. I am so glad that I stumbled upon it at the library. It was just a random thing. The spine caught my attention, so I figured, oh, I had never read anything by Travis before, and I was like, oh, let me try it out, and I am so glad I did. And that's one of the greatest things that I love about the library. You can find new artists, new writers, new subjects that maybe you didn't even know that, existed, or ones that you didn't know you would enjoy. So that, in my opinion, is the beauty of the library. So let's wrap up today with a blurb that I grabbed right from the back of this book. It's a blurb from author Deborah Ellis, and this is what she had to say about King of King Court. Beautifully constructed story that greets tragedy and pain head on and offers a way out. We can create our own stories. We don't have to remain in the stories of others. I mean, is that beautiful or what? That is something, I don't mean to get preachy, but isn't that something that we all need to remember? We can create our own stories. We don't have to remain in the stories of others. I love that. Thanks so much for checking in today, everyone. I really appreciate you listening. I hope that if you do end up reading this, that you let me know. Let me know what you thought of it. You can always email me at marymsbookpod@yahoo.com, or you can find me on social media, of course. And you guys know how to do that, right? I know I don't have to like list off everything every time. So I wanted to say thank you. Have a great day, great night. You know the drill. Whenever you're listening, have a great one. And remember to enjoy those books. See you guys soon.